To me, to you, to our fans, our listeners, our watchers, why are you doing this, Jason?
I don't know. I heard that Jason was the worst. His mom told me that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I'm not allowed to make your mom jokes anymore. But Eric Hunter, he can do whatever he wants.
It was just something that his mom told me. What? It's not really a mom joke, is it? Is that a mom joke?
Welcome to episode 66 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am the one that got away and the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am still peddling Homestar Runner cartoons to little kids.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I play the video card stock market.
Ooh, how'd you win out?
I almost doubled my money.
Holy cow.
That's not a bad return if you only got like 175% return. That's pretty good.
Yeah. No,
not bad at all.
In all sincerity, I took a video card that I bought for $250 in 2012 and sold it for $431 today.
You really actually did that?
Yeah, my eBay auction just ended.
Wow.
Apparently I have the wrong day job. I need to start reselling video cards.
Well, hold on a second, because he's got... Was this your Bitcoin video card?
It was, but
yeah.
For those who don't know what Bitcoin are, Bitcoin and Litecoin, all these other coins, are an internet currency that everyone jumped on the bandwagon for, and essentially your video card can create them if your video card does enough processing. And apparently AMD cards are really good at it. And because everyone's kind of jumped on the bandwagon, there's a shortage of AMD cards.
Right.
Huh. So the secondary market for it's gone through the roof. So I resold my card, and I'm just going to buy a more powerful NVIDIA card, which also comes with 3 free games for less than I sold this card for.
Because why not?
Sounds like a good deal to me, yeah.
Yeah, I was really excited that I got a gift from Jason today through my email. He actually got me 3 games. He got me Fallout 1, Fallout 2, and Fallout Tactics.
That is cool.
Super surprised, right? So I went to go download them. They're free.
Ha ha!
He gifted me free games.
Yeah, man. Wait, so you wouldn't miss them.
I want free games gifted to me.
There you go.
Hey, Jason, there you can go. You gift me some free games?
I did. I already sent them
you
to you.
You did? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now I look like check a complete your emails. Tool. Yeah, my bad.
Because I was like, oh, wow, apparently we're exchanging gifts. I can buy Steam games and stuff for you guys. I'm fine with that.
I didn't.
And they were free.
Check the right email.
I didn't want you to miss it.
Right.
I'm with Jason on this, even free. It's a good gesture, you know?
No.
What I'm wondering...
You should have just sent me an email saying, oh, hey, by the way, these games are free on GOG right now. Go get them.
But thing is, they're only free for a day, so if you didn't go until tomorrow, you wouldn't be able to get them. But by sending them as a gift, they're already redeemed.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point, too.
So now I've guaranteed you free games.
So you could have redeemed it, gone into Microsoft Outlook, and like scheduled the email to send 6 months from now, and the code still would have been for free?
Yeah.
Cool. But what I'm really wondering, Hunter, is how much does a Homestar Runner cartoon go for little kids these days?
Well, it depends on which one it is, because it's all based on length.
Right.
And since I only sell them on 5 1/4 inch floppies, they can get pretty pricey.
I understand. Those are collector's items.
Yeah.
Physical media.
That's right. God forbid. God
forbid. FOD Gorbid.
I don't know what that means.
Guys, play any old video games lately?
I did.
Jason did.
Excellent. Wait. We can always count on Jason to play old
video games.
Well, it was the first time for everything.
Yeah. I continued playing and beat Shadow Warrior.
Nice. Ooh.
Ooh. 20 levels of excitement.
Little Lo Wang.
Yeah, that was entertaining. I'll put it that way. It's not much depth, but it's good for running around. It also came with the two expansion packs, which I started to play and then immediately said, I've had enough Wang.
I don't think I have ever even remotely thought about putting any of those words together. Ever.
Oh, yeah. The jokes just write themselves.
So I finished that, and then I started a bit of Daikatana.
Yes. Daikatana.
That was a game it created by John Romero. It was delayed by 3 years. Half his staff quit halfway through. They formed another studio, which made Kiss Psycho Circus, which Hunter has brought before.
It's a good game.
Yeah. And I've only played through the first level, and it's a piece of crap.
Oh, wow, really?
It has a deserved reputation.
Hmm.
Definitely one of the most legendary suck-to-hype ratios of all time.
Yeah, it's
a lot of hype
bad
for a lot of
suck. A lot of suck. That's right.
Like it's
huge.
It's ugly, it's clumsy, the enemies are boring. Like, you fight dragonflies and frogs through the first quarter of the game.
Is that bad?
From the guy who made Doom, it's bad.
Oh, well.
He just wanted to mellow out.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, why do we always need to be fighting demons when you can fight frogs?
Yeah. Frogs. It's made on the Quake 2 engine.
Demon frogs?
Demon frogs. No, these are robot frogs, actually.
Oh, well, those are, I mean... Almost, I'm afraid of robot frogs.
Almost as cool as Battletoads. Or
they weren't robots.
Air Marshal from Bucky O'Hare. Shout out to the Retro Critic for his review on One More Castle. Bucky O'Hare!
Bucky!
Wow. So nothing stranger than a green rabbit in space.
What if he was like plaid? That'd be stranger than green, right? Green's pretty common. You can't argue with my logic. Yeah, yeah. Plaid is not a normal rabbit color.
No, it's you are correct. No, it is not.
Hunter,
no, it is not.
Have you played any old video games lately?
Yes, I had the
yeah. I look forward to how you're going to edit that one.
I'm not. I had the absolute horror of picking up Brawl Brothers for the Super NES.
Is that like the Snow Brothers not quite sequel?
No. This
that was a bad
is,
joke.
So I hopped on my Wii U. I'm on the U. If you guys want to team up, it's Eric M. Hunter. We call it the U. I'm on the U. That's what we call it. And
what do you call
it? I saw that. We call it the U.
Okay.
Yeah. For short.
No.
Shortened it. It's abbreviated. And they released the like new releases, kind of like update. So I got a notification. They're like, oh yeah, here's all the new games that are coming out in the Virtual Console. We got this game, we got that game. We have Brawl Brothers for the Super NES. It's like Brawl Brothers. I've never heard of that. So I went and checked out the video. I'm like, huh, this is kinda like a neat like a beat 'em up, kinda like, you know, like a Streets of Rage, Final Fight.
Yeah, I'll check
it out. So I kind of forgot about it. A couple of days went by. Stopped at one of my local shops and actually found it on the Super NES. And I was like, huh, $5? I got $5. This game looks all right on the video trailers anyway. It's atrocious.
Yeah?
Like, it's so annoying. So it's designed and created by Jalinko, which I know you're a huge fan of Jalinko.
Yeah, it's like their baseball.
Yeah, they love baseball. I was actually hoping that one of the characters was a baseball player, but it's not. It's very upsetting. So you got 5 players to pick from. You can only play 2 players at a time. One of them looks like a Black M. Bison. Another looks like a weaker Cody from Final Fight.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the 2 players that I picked because they're the ones that apparently I'm the most familiar with. So if you've played a beat-em-up game before... Usually what happens is you go so far into the screen of the level, and it stops, and you have to beat these enemies up and kill them before it allows you to move on. This game doesn't understand that, so it stops you from moving further until you beat up a bunch of enemies that happen to appear, but the go arrow that tells you, like, hey, you need to keep going to the right, constantly comes up, even though it doesn't let you go. Like, it just was like, bink, 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 go, bink, bink, go. And I'm like, I can't. The game will not let me. Like, I have to beat up. Why are you bothering me? So this is all in the first level. Okay, I just wanted you to know how far I got in this game. It's all in the first level. So you're on, like, a bridge. The bridge collapses. And then you go down into the sewer. Now, in the sewer, everything looks alike. You know, there's still guys that are coming up and wanting to beat you up and stuff. And, the pixel art's not too bad. But so I'm in the sewer, and I'm going through these doors. And then the level just keeps repeating itself. So, like, I'll go through a door, I'll come out, I'm in the same stage that I just went through. Go through another door, I'm in the same stage that I was just into. I only played this game for maybe about 15 minutes, and I had to go online to watch a playthrough to figure out what the hell I was doing wrong. And apparently, in the sewer stage, the doors, it's a maze. So, like, you have to go through, like, door A to get to room B. You have to go through door C to get to room A. Like, and it doesn't tell you that. Everything looks the same because all the sprites and the animations and the backgrounds are identical.
How could you possibly figure it out?
How could you possibly know that it's a maze? So if I've got to go online to figure out how to beat the first stage in a video game that came out in, what, 93, 94? I'm not going to play this game anymore.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
I'm not. Don't play Brawl Brothers.
It sucks.
The name alone is silly. It's just the silliest name. Just the silliest name. Like Clue Clue Land. Just doesn't make any sense. Who would name a game that?
Yeah.
Nintendo. Stupid Nintendo.
Dumb.
God.
Worst at naming stuff. God.
And see, that's the thing that really pisses me off, because like when I got this game, I bought a bunch of other games that I really want to play.
And that's
like I got the collector's. Yeah, like I got the GameCube collector's pack of, you know, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, and then like the first Legends of Adventures of Link, you know, like the combo bonus disc that you had to pre-order for. I finally got those again. But no, I don't play those. I play Brawl Brothers.
Of course.
A classic.
Yes. It's going to go down in history as one of the godfather of games.
Godfather. More like the suck father.
Oh, it's just so bad, man. Like
I'm annoyed just hearing you talk about it.
And it's like one character's really cool. His name's Slash, that you can play as, and he's like a super buffed up version of Vega. Like he's got the mask and like the swords, and like his special move, he actually splits himself in two. And then, like, drops down and, like, terror and damage and hell on top of everybody. And, no, it's... I didn't play as him. I played as Black M. Bison. That's who I played as. So that was my week. How about you guys?
Well, Jason already talked about his.
Yeah.
All right, well then, Bailey, you go.
I don't have to, but I'm still on a Smash Brothers Melee kick. I'm beating Classic mode with all the characters, which will unlock a handful. But the one old school game, truly old school, that I did play was an LCD handheld version of Tetris at my mother-in-law's house. Yeah. And
how slow was that?
This is the interesting thing I wanted to mention, is that it's actually pretty similar to the 8-bit or Game Boy versions. Similar speed, you can turn on a very, you know, like a MIDI style music background. And, you know, I got the controls, you can flip horizontally, or, I mean, clockwise or counterclockwise, all the pieces are there. And I'm a little bit worse at it than I am at NES Tetris. I played it a few times, probably spent almost an hour on it, and 85 lines was my high score, which is not great. Wow. I can do a little bit better on NES, but still, it's not like anything to...
That's like way better than me.
But what makes it impossible to do much better is on a Nintendo console or a machine, there's this phenomenon. I'm going to dork out for just a second. where if you have blocks, right? I mean, they have edges. So they move like one block piece at a time, you know, one, two, three. So at this, at that moment three, there's one, two, three. When the blocks are touching, there's...
Just so everybody knows who's listening to the podcast on Monday, Bailey's doing something with paper that is supposed to resemble Tetris. Please continue,
it's
Bailey.
It's going to make sense more so if you can see this, but I hope the audio version still makes sense. But on Nintendo, at this point where the block touches the other one, you have one more count before it counts against you. So it's like one, two, three, they're touching, but on count four, on that fourth beat is when you die. So on Nintendo, it goes one, two, three, they're touching, and then you have time to slide it. You can move back and forth, even when they're touching.
Right.
Well, on this LCD version, it goes one, two, three, and the moment they touch, you're dead. Like, they're connected. They're done. Like, there's no time to slide it off at all. The moment any pixel touches another pixel of another piece, they're connected forever. So it makes it tremendously unforgiving when you need to slide a piece into place, or when it's moving at a high speed, you need to get over to a certain place. But very tough. I mean, that was interesting. So an understandable limitation of this handheld LCD version, but I never thought I would appreciate such a simple mechanic until you have it withdrawn from you and have to play without.
What kind of batteries do those things do? Like,
this one's...
Is it just like a watch battery, or...
This one was a little bit bigger. I mean, it was like a small original Game Boy. It probably took a AA or a couple AAAs, I imagine.
Oh, okay.
I'll double check next time I'm there, though.
It just seems like the battery life of those things lasts forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's not a lot of power going to it, but... Like, I picked one up at a flea market a couple of months back, and this thing was, like, old. It was dusty. It was all broken up. And I hit the on button, and just right on. And I was like, oh, I'm playing football. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They're the secret to renewable energy. They never die.
That's right. Tiger Direct. They had something going for them.
Tiger Electronic Games.
I was like, my... What did I say? Tiger Direct?
Yeah. Oh,
that is what you said, yes.
Yeah. I was like, my 3DS doesn't do this. That's...
So really, you should start buying your stock in Tiger now, because they have the secret to renewable energy.
Yes.
Correct.
Tiger.
It's good to know.
Electronic Games. Speaking of Tigers, we have a listener email question. Goes like this. Here you go, guys. Enjoy this paintbrush-made Bomberman drawing of you guys. Now, we have to get this up on the podcast page. I'm speaking outside the email now because this
pretty cool.
This listener sent us a very amusing image. It's kind of a mashup of Bomberman in like a Microsoft Paint style, but the Bombermen have the faces of myself, Hunter, and Jason. Very recognizable. Very well done. It's very funny. I hope it's on the podcast page when this episode goes up.
And it is paintbrush.
It is. I mean, it's... Yeah, definitely.
It's legit. He doesn't know how to use anything else. Just paintbrush.
It's not Photoshop. It's not After Effects. No. It's just...
We tried to get him to move the Photoshop, and he thought that was hilarious.
He was like, no, you're getting the full cheese factor on this one. And he goes on to say, in favor of Jason and his comp-loving ways, my question for you gents is, what are all of your favorite, quote-unquote, comes-with-DOS 90s computer games, i.e. Solitaire, Hearts, Minesweeper, and I include Paintbrush? Thanks, Ricky G, a.k.a. Ricky Glore. So, I know my answer, but what do you guys think? What's your favorite comes with Windows game back in the day?
Well, I've got two.
Ooh,
yeah, well, the one's not really a DOS game or come with Windows kind of. Anyway, so the first one's Chips Challenge. if you ever played Chips Challenge before, it's one of the worst animated like puzzle solving games ever. But it's a blast. Like, you get, like, a bunch of different shoes, and, like, one you can walk on fire, and another one you can walk on like ice and not slide around. And the idea is just to collect chips, computer chips, to unlock the door to move on to the next level.
Isn't it just the Microsoft Xbox version of Yoda Stories?
Oh, man, Yoda Stories.
Nice. It's pretty close to it. It's pretty close to it.
Chips Quest.
Yeah, Chips Challenge.
Sorry, Chips Challenge.
Chips Challenge.
No, Chex Quest is actually fun.
Yeah. Well, no, Chips Challenge is fun.
What yeah, it is.
You're nuts. You're absolutely bonkers.
You like Chips Challenge. Am I crazy? Like, is Chips Challenge, like, good?
Like, when I used to play Chips Challenge all the time when I was younger, and when this question came up and I got to thinking, I was like, OMG, I haven't played this game in forever.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's an Android version. Oh, and there is.
Nice. Of course.
And I got it on my phone, and it's a hoot and a half.
Really?
The other one would be Pinball that you can play through Word 97.
Oh, gosh.
Or 5. Word 95. It's a very basic pinball game. I used to play at school all the time. I'd always get caught, and the teachers always wondered how I installed video games on their computers, and I was like, no, it was already on here, I swear. Here, I'll show you how to do it. You type in blue, and then you color it blue, and then you do this and stand on your head and do the hokey pokey, and that's what it's all about.
Pinball, yeah. I was actually going to bring Chips Challenge.
Oh, so, yes!
I know. It's great. But instead, I'll bring Rodent's Revenge.
Oh, another great classic game.
You were a mouse. You had to eat cheese, avoid cats, and when possible, box the cats in using movable bricks.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Came with the Windows Entertainment Pack, which was bundled with many PCs. And then there's always Skee Free.
Skee Free's good.
Good one.
Yeah. Hover, have you ever played Hover?
Yeah, for Windows 95?
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah, Hover's great.
I actually just read that somebody was remaking it?
Yeah, they are, I believe.
Or they had remade it.
They did. I played it recently.
That's all I got.
Yeah, they've made it as a browser game.
If we can include the Microsoft Entertainment Pack games, I submit Jez Ball for consideration.
Yes. Yes, I was trying to remember the name of that.
So fun. So fun. Really like that.
It's called Jez Ball, Jason. God.
If I'm going to go with one pick, I got to go with Minesweeper. I know it's the original, the cliche, but Minesweeper is where it's at. I love Minesweeper. The mental challenge. It's fun. It's all logic. If you screw up, it's your own fault. You know? I mean, it's... And I haven't actually seen it yet. But apparently the Windows 8 version of Minesweeper has an adventure mode.
Yeah,
I believe
so.
Have you guys seen this?
No.
That's like my number one reason to upgrade to Windows 8 on the next laptop I get. I just want to see
what's
going
on. That's totally not worth it.
I don't know. It may be. It may be.
That's what I've heard. So
I've done crazier things for video games.
I bought Sonic 1 just because I wanted to try the debug code on it.
That debug code is... probably the most impressive code ever.
Yeah, you can just do all sorts of stuff. And the clerk was looking at child Eric Bailey, and he was like, "You sure you want this kid? I mean, you don't want you don't want two or three?" I was like, "No." They don't have a debug code.
Yeah.
And that guy gave me a look worth $1 million. But
yeah. Yeah.
One of my clearest childhood memories, actually. That's kind of weird. But
that's like, there was another game like that. What was it? Where I just got the game just so I could. I'm not going to be able to remember off the top of my head. It had something to do with the Game Genie.
Yeah.
And it was like something super impressive that you could do or unlock with the Game Genie.
And you would read about it. You'd be so curious about the game that would let you do such a thing. You would buy the game just to try the Game Genie on it. I was just like nostalgia bombing my face off about that the other day.
Yeah, your face holes are all over the place right now.
Right? I have like 6 of them now.
But, I mean, there's been a bunch of games like that. Like, I remember, I know this is kind of off topic, but just talking about like Game Genie, Game Shark. I remember going out and buying a Game Shark for my N64 because I was a super big fan of WCW versus NWO, and there was a code to take some of the wrestlers' masks off. And I always thought that was like the coolest thing because like the big wrestler at the time was Rey Mysterio. He's this really short little guy, high flyer, off the top rope, that kind of thing. He always wore a mask. And the big thing was like, what does he look like? What does he look like? And then the Game Genie code came out that you could take the masks off. And I was like, I wonder if they went as far as like actually finding out what he looks like to model the face and then just to put the mask over it just for fun.
That's a good question.
They didn't. Just saying. But they didn't at all.
Do you remember this stuff? Like, I'm looking at the codes for Contra. In code number 6, L-E-I-I-X-Z says, start new life with spread gun. But in, like, white text on a blocked out black background. It says, don't use code 6 with codes 1 and 2.
Right.
It just makes it seem like such a doomsday scenario. Like, don't cross the streams! You know, yeah. Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria. Don't use...
Somebody asks you, if you were a god,
you say yes! Jason, do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah, Ghostbusters, man.
Oh, okay, good.
It's Ghostbusters.
All right, so they got it up in Canada, too. Good.
They don't have beer at their supermarkets, but they sure got Ghostbusters.
Dan Aykroyd is Canadian.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he is. That's right.
Well, speaking of Dan Aykroyd, I think it's time for a music break. By Rakos. In my opinion, a really cool Bionic Commando remix. Hope you enjoyed. Speaking of hoping you enjoy, it's time for the Keystone portion of our podcast. The Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who happens to not know already, this is the part of our show where each of us has secretly chosen an old game to match a theme, and we'll have 1 minute to introduce the game. Now, neither of us, or any of us, has chosen any others what game we've picked. But after the introduction, we're going to spend basically the rest of the show arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast page. We love the interaction. You love the interaction. We've got a good thing going here, baby. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you. And I'm looking, let's see, two episodes ago, for episode 64, the theme was Nintendo 64 games. And guess who won?
Nintendo 64.
Yes, everybody wins. Nintendo 64 Woo! Reigns supreme. But as far as game-specific choices in the Retro Showdown, Hunter is back on a roll. The Juggernaut has truly returned. Winning again with Banjo-Kazooie. Right.
The only choice for the Retro Showdown.
I like my games so much better. But, I mean, despite putting up a valiant effort, Dr. Mario 64 and Beetle Adventure Racing still managed to lose. So, congratulations, I guess, Hunter, on your victory.
Yay.
Tonight's theme... And remember, you can still vote on last episode, episode 65. But tonight for episode 66, our theme is Games You Hate. Games You Hate. That's interesting. Huh.
Did you just realize what the theme was?
Yeah.
Do you have to go pick a different game?
You want
to
start over?
Nope. I got it. No, I'm good. It's interesting. It's a good idea for a theme. I think it's kind of brilliant, actually. So... Yeah, games you hate. I'm ready when Jason's ready to time me.
I'm assuming we're arguing the merits of why we hate the game.
I'm going to be telling you guys why I hate my game.
And I have to tell you why it's good.
In order for you to win the showdown, the idea is to pick the best game that you hate so that people will vote for it still.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting risk-reward scenario because you want to offend people greatly by saying it sucks, but you want it to be so good that they like it.
Right.
But right. I'm kind of saying screw it to that whole philosophy.
So the person who gets the least amount of votes, does that mean that they win?
No, the person who gets the most votes wins. But you hate the game.
Okay. All right. I can do this. Are you ready?
As ready as I'm going to be.
You may begin.
Now, see, despite having said how all that works, like the most votes wins, but you have to hate the game. I just straight up picked a game that sucks. I'm just going to put it out there. I picked a game that some people have said they like, and people may not realize how many systems it came out on. You could play it on Commodore 64. You could play it on Windows. Just for kicks, I'm going with the Atari Lynx version because I looked up a video and it looks awful. I picked a little quote-unquote classic known as Chips Challenge for the Atari Lynx. This game is awful. If you think Banjo-Kazooie is a mindless collectathon, this game has you doing nothing but collecting colored keys and going through their coordinated doors. I'm going to hit play on YouTube. I'm watching a gameplay clip right now where Chip is walking to get a yellow key, then walking to a yellow door to open it, to get a red key inside of it, to go open a red door, to get the green key inside of it, to go open the green door, to get the blue key inside of it, to open the blue door, to get the key inside of it, opens the exit. That's stupid. It's telling the player, you're an idiot. You are wasting your time doing nothing but what you have to do to progress in the game. There's no gameplay. There's no... How much time do I have?
Hey, I'll let you ramble. You're going somewhere with it. Like
stupid game. I hate it.
All right.
It's dumb. There's no reason to play. There's no reward. There's no replay value. There's no engagement. There's no customization. There's no immersiveness.
We get it.
Graphics.
Oh, there's graphics.
Barely.
Yeah, there's
barely.
Graphics. Are you ready, Hunter?
Man, I'm having mass issues.
You should put water on it.
I don't know what that means.
Pour water in your computer.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to definitely do
that. I'm an IT guy. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't. For some reason, I don't trust you. I don't know why.
Have
I just
you
don't...
tried turning it off and turning it back on?
Oh, God.
I'm not going to do that now.
Well, Hunter, are you forfeiting your
pick? No, I'm ready.
Now.
Let's go.
All right, God. You may begin.
Jeez. All right. My pick for this week in Retro Rage is a game I absolutely loved when it was first released. Great gameplay, tons of weapons, great level design, and a fun soundtrack. Probably put about 100 hours into this game, and after all of these years, I can't stand this game. Released on the Nintendo 64 in August of 2007, it's GoldenEye 007. This game sucks! The hit detection is poor, the aiming is piss poor, the weapons are cheap, and the multiplayer is half-assed. I dread when my friends come over to play games because this one is always on the list to play. I can't take it anymore, and I refuse to be quiet about it any longer. GoldenEye 007 blows.
Wow.
Wow. Wow is right. Wow.
God.
Wow.
That is
stupid game.
Hunter, if nothing else, you have a nice set of balls on you.
I think I've only heard that from my wife, but thanks, Bailey. So, just gonna keep going. Gonna press on.
All right. I guess I'll start. Okay. All right. A system seller, a member of many best games of all time list, a revolutionizer of a whole genre of video game. I despise this game. It is Super Mario 64 for the N64.
Oh, whoa!
This game single-handedly introduced the idea of being a completist in video games. Sure, you could just have enough stars to go to the next level, but no, there had to be more stars. And no, some jackass somewhere had to go, yeah, I'm going to collect all 200 stars. You know where that's gotten us now? That's gotten us in a place where we have trophies for doing stupid things in video games because you just have to finish every little thing in a game. Super Mario 64 single-handedly ruined video gaming.
Wow.
Nah, that's a stretch. But I hate Super Mario 64.
Okay, I take that last bit back. But this is awful. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you don't like platformers, but man, the really pinnacleize Mario 64 as the game that brought on badges and achievements and trophies.
Yeah, that is a stretch. It's an interesting thought.
It is the game that when it came out, to progress to the next level, you had to have a number of stars to open a door to the next level.
Right.
But to make it not an extreme chore, they added extra stars per level. So you didn't have to get all of them, just had to get some of them to progress. Of course, people then went on to go, you know what, no. Sure, I've beaten every level, but beating the boss, I'm going to go back and get every star. And that's led to Assassin's Creed having a bunch of stupid flags in it, or Infamous having a bunch of stupid orbs, and these things do nothing. But video game developers just put them in because they know for a set of gamers, it'll just extend the gameplay. While in reality, they're doing nothing but collecting crap. And it drives me nuts.
That's an interesting case, but you would really say that Super Mario 64 was the first game where you had to collect an item to get to the next stage?
I'm not saying...
Challenge!
No, I'm not saying to get the next stage. I'm saying there are items to collect to get the next stage. But this
chips
is the game
challenge
that introduced bonus items that did nothing.
Okay, so...
Oh, chips challenge!
So I was going to debate Jason on this bit. Because in my opinion, Donkey Kong Country for the SNES, to me, feels like that would be the pinnacle game. That kind of started the collect them all. I need 101%. But it only sold 9 million copies worldwide, where Super Mario 64 sold over 11 million.
Oh, that's not that big of a difference.
Yeah, not at all.
It's like 10%.
Yeah, that's a million. Did you hear me say million?
Yeah, 2 million, whatever.
That was going to be my only. That was going to be my ace in the hole. and it didn't work.
I'll agree with you.
So now I kind of
add up the sequels.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No. And thinking back on what the game did for the genre.
Right.
You can look at Super Mario 64 as standing out so much more than that Donkey Kong game. When looking at games that revolutionized a genre, that game stands out. It did so much for platformers.
No, I agree. But that's why I was like...
Yeah.
But the thing is, Super Mario 64 did so much for 3D platformers.
It's also true.
I mean, you can't...
Go ahead.
My internal struggle right now, my conflict, is that I actually kind of see your point. Like, because Super Mario 64 was the first, was the big name brand push, and it had those collectible items, yeah, that did probably help usher that in.
Well, not even only that, but it awarded you for getting everything. Because, like, Yoshi's at the top of the castle, and then you get that weird four jump. Like, I was just thinking, Donkey Kong Country doesn't reward you for getting 101% in the game, except for you see that number.
Yeah, but...
And for the amount of effort you put in, that is such a minimal reward.
I think this is the first time I've ever said this in the year and a few months we've been doing this, but I agree with Jason.
Yes!
How weird is that?
There is a first.
God, I feel dirty now, like Canadian dirty. Which is all backwards. And...
That's yellow snow dirty.
Oh, gross. No. GoldenEye is definitely the best choice. It's just
GoldenEye does have awful controls.
Everybody goes on and all the multiplayer was amazing. Do you know that the multiplayer in GoldenEye 007 was an afterthought to Rare?
Mm-hmm.
It was an afterthought. They didn't even think about putting a multiplayer until at the very end of its development cycle. And guess what? If you go back and play it, you can tell. It is one of the most half-assed multiplayer games I have ever played. Like, the level design is atrocious. Three of the levels are exactly the same. Like, they're separated. So there's, like, you get the library, which is just the top level. Then you get the stacks, which is the bottom level. And then the third level's both of them at the same time. That's three levels that you get to pick from. Four of the levels...
That was kinda cool, personally.
No, it's awful. Four of the levels are actually levels out of the regular game. What fun is that? They're like, all right, well, this
is fun to be able to play those levels.
No, you know what's fun about playing these levels is playing them through the single player. That's why those levels are fun. As many first-person shooter multiplayer games I have played, I have never played one that had a level that was a mock copy of a single-player level.
What's wrong with that?
There's no creativity there. It's not designed for a multiplayer game.
But that... Oh, I disagree with your philosophy. You're thinking here. I disagree with it so much. Like, it's a little lazy, but there's nothing inherently wrong with using the same level. That's kind of cool to me. It's a little nod. It's a little cool. It's a little, there you go. It's a reference. It's a little,
we couldn't think of anything else. So,
but they did.
No.
Not necessarily it at all.
No.
GoldenEye only succeeds as a shooter because it was the only thing available on the console at the time that allowed a multiplayer deathmatch like that.
I have to say, like, I agree with you guys that GoldenEye is overrated. I've publicly spoken out strongly about that before, so I'm with you.
But
it's still a great... That doesn't mean it's not inventive and innovative and didn't contribute. I just think Perfect Dark is a whole lot better.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But Perfect Dark gets pushed to the wayside.
Which is unbelievable to me.
I agree.
So much better than GoldenEye.
One of the things that absolutely drives me nuts about the multiplayer in GoldenEye are the proximity mines. Probably
I love the proximity mines.
Oh, they are the absolute worst weapon. There is no
love
challenge
them.
In it. You know where they're going to spawn because the special weapon spawns in the exact same place in the level. There's no strategy. Because they just grabbed the level from the single player and said, I don't know, let's just cut it off here, right? That'll work, guys. We got an extra level, right? Yay! You're just throwing proximity mines all around like it's no big deal. And then somebody comes running through the door to go grab something and boom!
No. If you're a skilled player, the challenge is like surviving them and tripping them without blowing them up or shooting them. There's a lot of... It makes it kind of thinky.
No, that's not what you do. You get a big box of proximity mines, you just throw them around, and when you're done, you just stand in a corner and wait.
So that's much fun!
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a blast. So much strategy.
Literally, you just made a great little pun, and that was a Bailey level pun. You nailed.
I'm so glad that there's tournaments of this still going on. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. This game is awful.
No one wants to play a one analog stick shooter.
Yeah, that's awful.
No one.
I mean, there's so much strength.
I know. I'll look up and down with the C buttons.
Oh, so here's the best part. Rare knew that the controls were piss poor when it comes to a first-person shooter, that they actually give you an award for running around. Because you have to strafe so much, they give you the most strafing reward. Come on! Like, if you know your product is crap, why would you reward somebody? Like, hey, sorry the game sucks, but congratulations.
You went left and right.
Oh, God. It's just so bad. And it's one of those games that since it's stuck in hell between Nintendo and Microsoft, we will never see an HD remake of this game. We will never see online play with this game, ever. But get just what came out on Xbox Live. Perfect Dark. There you go. And I love Chip's Challenge, by the way.
Yeah, Chip's Challenge is awesome.
Because it's a collect-a-thon. It started my love for collect-a-thons.
Brainless.
But you know what? It's not even a collect-a-thon.
It's worse
because
than Progress
No, it's
Quest.
Not. No, it's not. A game
is.
Where you get keys to go through doors is not a collect-a-thon. You are collecting those keys for a purpose. You're not just collecting this stuff
for no reason. But you don't see my point about the greater purpose. If all you're doing in the game is collecting keys and going through doors, what is the point?
What else do you do in games?
Yeah, it's just getting to point A to B.
Well, okay, all right, hold on. Especially at that time, what else do you do in games?
Early first-person shooters did it. Get the red key to go through this door. Get the green key to go through that door.
But you shot people.
Yeah, this one you move blocks and you dodge obstacles.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense to me. I don't know why Bailey doesn't understand.
Yeah, come on. Hunter and I know what's going on.
God, it's like the Jason and Hunter show.
We can go really deep here because I like Adventures of Lolo.
This is the same game.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But
no, I know so.
Has charm. And it
oh,
looks good.
Why?
It
because the
good.
Because the
There's
protagonist
enemies,
is cuttable,
animated better.
Oh, really? That's
cuddly?
Why?
Yes. No. Yes, that's a big part of it. Yeah.
So you're telling me that if Chip's Challenge was a little bit more robust, let's say it was a 16-bit game, same gameplay, same setup, same level design and everything, but if the graphics were better, it would be a better game?
Slightly. Here's the point we're getting at. Chip's Challenge is designed as though the team that made it, was explicitly trying to just make it the most bare bones experience as possible. Like, let's just make it the whatever. Just get it out the door. We don't even care. Just whatever. It's just Chip's. The name is Chip.
It was one guy.
It's like it's like this sterile, cold, syntheticized. I can't even describe the melancholy feeling that overcomes me.
Okay,
it'd be like checking into a resort hotel, opening your room, and there's like a hospital bed and plain white walls. Like, is there anything wrong with that? Not necessarily, but gosh, out of all the rooms you could pick, why would you pick the one that gives you nothing? There's no imagination. There's no creativity. There's no humor. There's no life. No, I mean, I don't want to sound like new agey weird, but
when
no
he gets
spirit.
Hurt, he says, "Oh no!" I mean, that's kind of
yeah.
Comical.
Which is like, it's soul crushing. It's depressing. It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Jeez. It's just a video game, Bailey.
Exactly.
It's like it's changing your outlook on life right now.
Really? Chip's,
no.
Chip's Challenge is the
life.
Most. Oh, sorry.
Life changed my outlook on Chip's Challenge.
Wow.
Go ahead, Jason. I know where you're going. Go ahead. Go there.
This is the most... You don't. I'm just saying. This is the most depressing game you've ever played.
Yeah.
Chip's Challenge.
It's like, Let me, no. I'll give you more ammo to use against me. Because, like, there have been simpler games, like Pong.
Right.
It's only two colors. It's, yeah. But Pong knows what it's doing. Like, Pong is Pong. Chip's challenge makes you want to slit your own throat and shoot yourself at the same time. It's like, what am I doing?
Is that your backup plan?
Why did we put so many tile-based tiles into the background for these 50 levels? Why did we bother? Like, there's no point.
Okay, I can answer that.
Exercise in futility and repetition.
I can answer that. I can answer that. The reason behind just in terms of like the whole tile based thing, is because people who were, and I really believe this, people who were making games for the PC weren't gamers. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, there's a big difference between somebody who creates for a console, and then somebody who creates for a PC, especially at that era. Because on a console, you can't do anything else but play the games. You know, so maybe this game was what we would consider now to be like a 48-hour weekend event that some programmer had time to create, like for a contest or something, you know?
Yeah, those are fair points, yeah.
I'm going to... No, because this... Bailey brought the Atari Lynx version.
Yeah, why did you do that?
A video game console.
Like, the only one that has a story? Like, that's the good one. Like, that one has a story.
But you can't use that argument then for that game on that console. Because Windows 3.1, which did Chip's Challenge, didn't come out for 3 more years.
Oh.
Right?
That's semantics. That's all I'm going to say.
Time. Stupid time.
This math and stuff. It's ridiculous.
I chose the Atari Lynx version because I cannot imagine a game that has these two traits going for it. Most explicitly, obviously, a PC game. And most explicitly, obviously, should be left on a PC game. Like, of all the crappy Windows games you would port to a full-color portable gaming system.
That's the thing, though. They didn't port it. It came out on the Lynx before.
But it's so obviously a crappy Windows game. No, I understand what you're saying, Jason. It wasn't even on Windows yet. But even playing it on the
Lynx, it was destined for Windows.
It was destined for Windows.
Exactly.
You know, it's great as well.
Okay, I never played it on the Lynx. But had I played it on the Lynx, I guarantee you, as a kid, I would have been like, this is like a crappy Windows game.
Oh, so it was its first release was on the Atari Lynx.
How ridiculous is that? Is that not, like, absolutely absurd?
Well, it's not, I mean, it's not any absurd than, you know, releasing a launch title on, you know, the Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. The games on Virtual Boy were very Virtual Boy. There's a reason they're a Virtual Boy.
Yeah, but those were hundreds of people were making those games. This was one guy.
Right. Why the Lynx?
I don't know. Atari was crazy back then. The Atari Lynx retailed for $180. $180?
My friend had one, man. My favorite version of California Games.
That's crazy.
But yeah, why the Atari Lynx? Like, your developer wants to make a crappy tile base for repeat action nonsense nothing game. Why the Atari Lynx?
There's got to be a story behind
why it. Why not?
If you wrote an algorithm,
the
that
Lynx
would just
needed something.
Randomly pressed a direction, like up, down, left, or right, just randomly picked one every second, it would eventually beat Chip's Challenge on its own. Do you realize that?
That's not true.
I think you're crazy.
How ignorant is that?
No, it's not a Rube Goldberg machine. You can't, no.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of game. Mario is that kind of game.
You can write an algorithm to beat Mario, but it's a little more complex.
Well, yeah. I mean, you actually have to modify the level.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. No, you have to modify the level.
No, you don't. It's been done.
Listen, Bailey, I'm playing Chip's Challenge right now on my phone. And it is freaking fantastic.
It will never die.
And let me just say, you're wrong. This is a great game.
No, you're wrong. It's a stupid game.
No, it's genius.
Why did it come out on the link? See, now I'm interested. Like, I want to.
Right?
Well, like it's just
the most confounding thing.
Yeah, of all of the consoles to be released on, or even just the PC in general, like, why would you pick the links first?
Because what year was that? 1989. Like, in 89, you had the NES, you had DOS, you had early Windows versions, yeah. You had. I mean, wasn't the Genesis out? But, yeah. You had, yeah, like, why the...
Man. Let's see if I can find this guy on Twitter.
Chuck Somerville?
Yeah.
I found him.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
On Twitter?
At CH Somerville.
There he is. Hold up.
I'm following him.
Which CH Somerville?
CH Somerville.
Somerville.
I'll just put in the. I'll just
if
put the link
like
in our chat.
If you like Chip's Challenge and Chuck's Challenge, be sure to try Wonderland and ZBots at MidnightSynergy.com.
There you go.
Trying to think of a very polite way to tell this man all the horrible things I've said about Chip Challenge.
Tonight. Well, no, I want to know why he picked the Atari Lynx to release Chip's Challenge.
Tweet him.
I'm going to.
Ask him on Twitter, Hunter.
I'm going to. All right, hold on. Do I have to follow him first, or can I just send him a message?
Yeah, I think I have to follow first.
All right.
Well, do both. I mean, he won't. Yeah.
He has a new game out called Chuck's Challenge.
Yeah, that's the one that's been in. See, he's been trying to create a new Chip's Challenge, but whoever he signed his quote unquote agreement with back in 1989, they won $100,000 up front to give him the full rights to release a new game for it.
So he's just made Chuck's Challenge instead. He kickstarted it successfully.
Oh, Lord. There is no hope for our world.
You picked the best game, Bailey.
I agree.
The least flawed.
No, here's the thing, though. It's the worst game by far of the three.
No.
And it stands no chance of winning the showdown.
It's the purest,
GoldenEye or Super Mario 64 will win. That's a given. I mean, I would so much... Even with their flaws, I agree with you guys about... I would rather play Super Mario 64 or GoldenEye so much more. Like, I mean, so much more. It's like comparing, I'd rather let a piece of ice melt in my mouth versus breaking three of my toes with a hammer.
What does any of that mean, man? Like,
to the extent that I'd rather swallow cold water than break toes with a hammer, is the extent I'd rather play GoldenEye or Super Mario 64. Than play Chip's Challenge.
Wow.
It's the same extent. The same.
You're mad.
Same. I'm pissed.
Yeah, because you brought the best game and you're supposed to bring a bad one.
I agree.
I brought a game I hated. I followed the rules.
Well, you're wrong. Your hatred is misguided.
Well, at least it's true.
I guess.
I really, really don't. I think it's a really stupid game. I really don't like it.
Well, I just...
I think you guys actually like your games. You're just trying to be hipster or whatever.
Yeah, super
no,
hipster.
No, I don't. It's not the hippest.
Like, I kind of want to go back now and try to find, like, that first game that awarded you for collecting a bunch of crap that you didn't need.
That is a really good question. That is a really good question.
Because, like, I think right now, like, Super Mario 64, that's a hell of a starting point.
Yeah, I bet, though, if we ask Pierre, there's probably some Atari 2600 games that did it.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, but I don't mean, like, the first game to do it. I mean, like, the first huge, mega, popular game.
Right,
that was
okay.
Groundbreaking,
The one big enough to actually influence that trend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm going for.
It's probably a combination. Not to get complicated with this theory, but... Donkey Kong Country, yes. Super Mario 64 continued it.
Well, see, I was even thinking like Super Metroid.
But the thing is, like, once the people working on Nintendo 64 brought in Rare as one of their main developers, the rest was history. We were doomed from that moment forward.
See, I don't know.
It was a marriage of collectathon
crap
obsessivists.
Like, I'm thinking back to, like, I'm thinking other, like, weird, groundbreaking things that happened in gaming. Like, the silent protagonist. Yeah. Like, the silent protagonist was huge when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. And, like, that was the game of its time. Like, nothing could beat GTA 3. So, obviously, every company and developer is going to try to mimic what they did because it sold so many copies, you know? Mm-hmm. And that
same with Mario 64.
Right, and that started the trend of silent protagonists because they thought that was a very key element because for some reason they thought, oh, well, it's me. I'm the player. He's not talking, so it's me. I'm going around, you know, running over hookers and, you know, stealing cars, which...
The good life.
The good life. It's just another day in heaven for me, so...
Am I the only person who dislikes Chip's Challenge?
Yes.
I can't be.
No, it's it's great.
It's a great
game.
There
has to be one other person out there who understands them. Okay, fine. No. I'm okay being the only one. That's fine. Whatever.
Here's how we'll find out. If you get the most votes in this showdown. I know.
I will.
That's because nobody agrees
with
you.
I will work hard to promote it.
You're going to work hard to make sure Bailey wins?
Yeah.
Maybe this isn't the Hunter-Jason team I thought it was.
Oh, ayo. Some dissension Something is amiss. In the ranks, perhaps?
That's right.
In the air tonight.
Chip's Challenge, man.
Oh, man. GoldenEye is just so bad.
Oh, see, here's what I'm dreading. Back to GoldenEye, please. Can I say one quick thing about GoldenEye? People who love GoldenEye forget the stupid, crappy way that damage is taken in that game. Have you ever noticed, no matter how quickly your weapon fires, your RCP-90, whatever, no matter how many rounds hit an enemy within consecutive hits of each other, there's always this pause between the damage that the character takes. Like, ugh! They're invincible for a half second.
Right.
Ugh! They're invincible for... Perfect Dark, you actually take the damage in real time. If eight rounds go through your face in the same half a second, you're dead. GoldenEye, it takes a few seconds. It's obnoxious. That's why you play one-hit kills in tournaments, because it's the only way to...
Right. So they're going to name probably the worst weapon in the game after one of the programmers, Ken Lobb. You've got the claw.
Yeah, the claw. Oh,
which is probably... So it's the worst gun ever. Oh, and guess what? He doesn't work at Nintendo anymore. So that was like a sore spot. Like, oh, you guys want to play GoldenEye? Yeah, but don't turn on the claws because, you know, that's a soft spot for Julie over there. She had a thing for him. And anytime we mention claw, it's, you know, she goes in the bathroom crying. So...
You could
she forgets to water the
plants
and all that stuff.
Just unload clip after clip. They'd be standing there like, well, you've hit me six times. I'm still standing here. And only one out of every six rounds.
It reminds me of the Vorgons from Hitchhiker's Guide. Yeah. Like, they're known as, like, the worst. They're known as, like, the worst shooters in the galaxy. But it's not them. It's the club. That's the gun that they're firing. They are superior marksmen. They are superior marksmen, but it's the club that makes them miss. And they got a bad rep for it, man, and that's awful.
That's wrong.
Just awful.
Those are Vorgons, right?
Yeah, what'd I say?
Yeah.
Vorgons? Yeah,
I said Vorgons.
No, I think you said it. I'll just make sure.
Yeah, Vorgons.
Chip's Quest. Best ever.
Chip's Challenge.
Whatever.
There's a huge
Jason
difference.
You don't even know what the game is called. You're getting the name of the game wrong.
He goes on a quest for chips.
Wow. Computer chips.
Yeah.
And actually the Atari, I think I said this before, but the Atari Lynx version was the only one that actually had a story to go with it. Usually they just throw you right into the game, but the Atari Lynx sets you up. They set you up for the adventure that
Barely.
Is about to be had.
Have you seen this story portion on the Atari Lynx?
Yeah, I watched the video.
Not much to speak
I watched
of.
The video.
It's mostly text, let's be honest.
Well, yeah. I mean,
delivered poorly.
That's on the Lynx, man. The Lynx really wasn't pushing much. So,
the only other thing I feel like saying about Chip's Challenge is to the creator of Chip's Challenge, whatever your name was. don't take it personally. I dislike your game, but I'm sure you are a very nice, charming individual. That's all I want to say.
Just in case if you meet him in a dark alley. Heard you don't like Chip's Challenge.
Podcast. You've initiated contact. We'll probably listen. That's fine. I want him to listen to the podcast, but don't take it personally, dude. It's just I don't like the game at all.
Well, see, we kind of set him up for failure because me and Jason already praised the game at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And then for you just to come in and like tackle him and then like punch him in the teeth. He's not going to be a very happy
not the
camper.
Creator. Just Chip. Chip can be punched in the teeth.
Yeah, Chip, man.
Oh, okay.
Creator's fine.
Wow.
Oh, it's awful. You guys. That's... Final arguments, gentlemen. Hunter, why should anyone vote for GoldenEye?
You shouldn't vote for GoldenEye. It, the game is awful. It gets put on this pedestal that revolutionary of gaming, and it's not. You take a crappy movie license and you turned it into a crappy game. It's as simple as that. I will take World Is Not Enough over GoldenEye 007.
Oh, wow. On Nintendo 64?
Absolutely on Nintendo 64.
Well, that answers the question I should have asked. Jason, why are people going to vote for Super Mario 64?
Because they like collecting crap. Thank you.
And as for me, why are people going to vote for Chip's Challenge? Because of one of the most dangerous forces in the universe. Misplaced sentimentality. The game sucks.
No.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I just want to remind people you can email us. podcast@onemorecastle.com. That's where we get our discussion questions, etc. Please check out the free artist track we usually feature every week. Support them. And if you know any chiptune artists, tell them, hey, you could be on a podcast, you know. You could do that. Let them know. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm @Nintendo_legend. One More Castle is @OneMoreCastle. That's the number one. More Castle. We are on iTunes and Stitcher and a couple other things now. Shout out to some of our video commenters. Valerie Minnick, Dustin Faber, Andrew Carrera, that doesn't really count. Paul Sharp, who recently tweeted me that he's been a recent new fan of the show. He's been following us for a while now and has checked out the live stream for the first time tonight, so good on you. There's some guy watching whose name I don't even know how to pronounce. I'm really sorry. Shout out Foley Alberca.
He's from the Philippines.
Cool. That's excellent. All right. Well, yeah. Thanks to the people who watch it live. Thanks to people who are going to watch later. Thanks to people who are even going to listen after them. How about you guys? Any plugs? Shout outs?
Yeah. I'd like to give a shout out to Chuck Somerville, creator of Chip's Challenge. And you can follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb.
You can follow me on Twitter as well, Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is iamericm.com. And I would like to give a little pro tip to those Wii U players out there. One of the greatest side-scrolling adventure games ever created is now on the eShop for a measly $3.99. You may have played the lesser clone known as Castlevania, Masters of Darkness, is now available on the Nintendo eShop. Definitely want to check that out.
Despite the froth of anger I have churned within myself tonight, I had a lot of fun tonight. I'm calling it. This is going to be a classic episode. There's so much awesomeness going on. I love it. And fans, listeners, watchers, just last but not least, please remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!